James chapter 3. What an awesome chapter, I'll tell you. It's very convicting. Last week we talked a little bit just in the one verse that here James is talking to us about the importance of leadership and the power of the tongue, how powerful that tongue is. And in chapter 3, verse 1, remember we started out by saying, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And we shared a lot. We took the whole night to really share concerning the leadership about pastor, teachers, and those that are in a place where they're sharing with people the responsibility that we have. And again, it's pretty amazing how clear the scriptures are, because in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, if you have your Bible for a second, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, the last chapter of Hebrews, right before James. He says in verse 7, he says this, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And then again in verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief." And then he goes on to say this, "For that would be an unprofitable thing for you." You know, when I think of the responsibility that God has given to me as a pastor, as an evangelist, and the work that God has done over a period of 30-some years, and watching God just really touch so many people, the integrity that we all need to have, you know, toward the Lord. Because not only do people listen to what you say, but at the same time, you have to be a doer of the Word of God. And one of the things that happens is that a lot of times, people have a real problem with their lips. Loose lips sink ships. And it's really important that we understand that we can sit there and we can bless people. We can, you know, we just finished worshiping the Lord, singing unto the Lord, and all of a sudden we leave the service here tonight, you're on the freeway, and somebody gets in front of you, and what do you? You curse that person. Just immediately, without even thinking about it. You went from blessing to cursing, and we didn't even think about it. That's the nature of the heart. And it's just, you know, one little mouth that God gave us and one little tongue. But man, how powerful it is. Think of how many people have been destroyed by someone opening their mouth and saying things that are not good. Really ugly. Demeaning a person. Demeaning a child. Think of how many parents with their children have demeaned their children and said things to their children that they remember for the rest of their lives, and it affected their childhood. I can still in my mind remember going with my dad. I was 5 years old, going with my father to the bars, and he would go in the bar. I would stay outside of the bar, and I would actually be by the where they would sell the comics and the newspapers. I would sit outside. He worked for the Bank of Mexico, so all his friends would go in, and I would sit outside. And then I remember I could hear their voices inside of the bar and the filthy talk that affected me. The cursing. Learn all the bad words. And it was only 5 years old. And then when I used to use those words, I used to get in trouble. I remember having soap in my mouth, you know. My grandma would put soap in my mouth, you know. And they would put hot sauce in my tongue, you know. And I still would say them, you know. But I mean, you think of all these things, and then, you know, the children get punished and they get beaten. And at the same time, whose problem is it? Whose fault is it? The parent. How do you talk in your own privacy of your own home when your children are listening? Or you think they're not listening? They can be upstairs. They have sharp ears. Believe me, they know more than you think they know. And it's really important that we take a check within our own lives and we really watch ourselves, what we say. And that's why James here really talks to teachers or leaders, what they're going to be saying. Why? You'll receive the stricter judgment. God will judge you. Too much is given, much more is required. The Bible says that. So if you're a father, you're a mother, your responsibility to your home and to your children is with great value. And God will judge for what you say. Surely we don't want to turn our children away from the Lord. We want to turn them to the Lord. So they have to be built up, not tearing down, not demeaning, not being abusive in speech. This is important. And it's really neat how James just, you know, because James probably was having problems in his church with these leaders in his church. He probably heard how they were treating their wives, treating their children, treating other people. And you've been in a situation where you're trying to be nice to somebody, but they're literally insulting you. And you haven't done nothing. You know, and it's so sad that some people have a real bad attitude all the time. You know, it's like, get over it, you know? And it's sad because it really affects people and it affects their lives. And now what he's going to do in verse 2, he's going to talk about the actual tongue that has power to control. Power to control. And check this out. Look what he says. For we all stumble in many things. Oh, and you know what? That is such a truth. I mean, how many of us stumble today? We stumble in so many ways. You know, there are different things that we do that we actually bring a stumbling into our lives. And it affects our spiritual life. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And yet Paul says in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the word grieve is an interesting word in the Greek. It means don't bring pain to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He gets grieved. He gets hurt. When there's cussing, when there's dirty language, when there's, you know, abusive language going on. You can, you know, bless the Lord and then 5 minutes later you're cursing because that's not right. God does not do that. It's our nature as humans. The old nature that we possess. And so here he's letting us know that there's this real, whatever we say and whatever we do, we're going to reap to it. We need to be careful with the actual law of sowing and reaping. If you want people to treat you nice, then you have to treat people nice. Respect bears respect. And at the same time, there are more, probably more people that disrespect and are always angry and saying malicious things to people, offending, than really saying things that are honorable and building up that person. And that's why we really need to be so careful in the things that we say. Watch what else he says here. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, then he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. I mean, imagine, how many people do you know that are perfect people? You know what? If you find them, let me know who they are. Seriously. Because we all stumble in word. In word, in our communication. We stumble. And again, here he's talking about the power and the control of the tongue. It's really offensive when we offend people's lives by saying things that we should not say. James tells us that we need to control our tongues. We need to be careful what we say. Let's think before we speak. That's real important. Because many times when you're angry, you don't think before you speak. And that's something that we all find within ourselves. And that's where abusive husbands or abusive wives can be too with a husband. When you're angry at your husband or your wife or your children, out of anger you say things that you can never take back. They do damage to a child's mind and to an adult. I think of how many wives have come and talked to me about their abusive husbands, and these women are broken because of what they've said to them. I mean, it's pretty heavy stuff they say to them. Do you call your wife a whore? That's not good. She's your wife. The Bible says she's like the bride of Christ. She's the bride of Christ. And I think that it's really important that we understand as men and women that God hears everything we say. He's omnipresent. He sees it all. He hears it all. He keeps record of it all. And the worst thing that we can do, because we've all done it, is that when we are abusive and we do say things that we shouldn't say, we don't apologize. We don't say we're sorry. And what does James say? Well, we'll get to that later on. He says, make sure that before the sun goes down, you make things right. Make sure. Because if you don't, you start getting cold. You start becoming unforgiving. And pretty soon there's a callousness. And we need to be careful of this. So here James gives us some great, great advice for all of us. James here gives the basis for what he has just said in verse 1. That the tongue is the most difficult member of the body to do what? To control. Imagine this little member is the hardest thing to control. I mean, think about what he's going to tell us now. You know, he says, you know, they can put bits into a horse's mouth and you can control the horse. They train lions and gorillas and huge animals to submit to men. And they're huge and they're wild. And yet James says, no one can tame the tongue. That little member. Such a powerful thing. Imagine that. No wonder God only gave us one mouth. Can you imagine with two mouths? Some of us would be in real trouble. But look what he says. This is so good. We have all offended with our tongues at one time or other. Then he gives the illustration. In verse 3, that's an illustration. Notice here. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. I remember in Colombia when I like riding horses in Colombia. But this guy had a ranch and he had all these horses way back in the 80s. And we went down there and he says, hey, you guys can have the horses. And you guys can go riding. And I had never ridden a horse before. So I got on this horse, you know, and we all got on horses. And they took us out into the country. And then all of a sudden these black clouds came. And there was going to be a big old rain. And it started thundering. And those horses went crazy. And they would not stop until they got to the ranch. And I mean, we were just going all over the place, man. I remember. And I was pulling on the strap, and they would not stop. They would not stop. They just wanted to get to that ranch. They knew where they lived. But it was amazing because when we got to the ranch, you know, as we pull on the straps, and they had that brown in his mouth, they stopped immediately. It controlled it. And here James is saying, you know, this little piece of metal that's in the mouth of the horse can control that wild horse immediately by pulling it. It cuts, stops it. And yet he's going to tell you that this little member of flesh in your mouth, it's so little and it cannot be controlled. What damages it does to people's lives. What damages it does. James here is illustrating the powerful influence of the tongue by the practicing of putting little bits into the mouth of the animal that controls that animal from going anywhere, to make him stop, to be submissive. And think how long God has been working on our tongues to obey and not to say things that we shouldn't say, but we should really bless with our tongues the Lord and people. I like what Psalm 32, verse 9 and 10, listen to what David says in Psalm 32 concerning the tongue. Psalm 32. He says in verses 9 and 10, Psalm 32, he says, "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with the bit and the bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him, and be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, your righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." You know, I mean, he has this way of speaking to us through the scriptures by using these untamed animals that need to be tamed. I mean, when I was a little kid, I remember going to the circus with my parents, and I remember those big old lions and gorillas and all these animals that were in the cage. And the guy was in the cage, controlling with a whip, you know. And yet these huge wild animals that can kill you in a moment were in submission to the master. They had been broken, but at the same time, they can't be trusted. But yet he says, well, what about your tongue? Who is the one that tames your tongue? The Bible says we need to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, our speech. We have to be careful what we say, because we can bless or we can curse, as he says here. He goes on again, and notice what he says here. Verse 4. He says, "Look also at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds." And when I read this, it brought back memories on my way to Vietnam on the U.S. Gaffey. 5,000 troops. And we hit in Okinawa this huge storm in the Pacific, man. Huge. Everybody was sick for 3 days. That old big ship was going up and down, and we were in our bunks, and we would go to chow time, and we eat and we throw it out. You know, I mean, it was just bad. Really bad. And when I read that, you know, when you look at this huge ship with 5,000 men going to Vietnam, and there's this little thing that controls it. The rudder, he says, that is able to make it steer through the ocean. I mean, think about how amazing God is. Because he goes again, he says, "Look at the ships. Although they are so big and are driven by fierce winds, they are all turned by a very small rudder, whether the pilot desires." By being on the deck, the actual captain can turn which way he wants to go. Which way he wants to go. Amazing. And yet the Bible tells us, as we study God's word, it tells us that there are different kinds of tongues. There's a backbiting tongue. We can backbite people with our tongues and damage their character. Think how many people's character have been damaged by people spreading false rumors. False rumors. At work. In school. In church, by people saying something that they're not really sure of, but they heard it. Gossip. And they start backbiting that person. In Proverbs 25, verse 23, listen to Solomon, what he says. Chapter 25 of Proverbs, verse 23, he says this. He says, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance." A backbiting tongue. I think of people that have actually spoken against me, my character. Backbiting me. They don't even know me. Don't even know me. And they say things about me that they don't even know, and they're not even true. And Chuck's so cool, because Chuck says, if you defend yourself, then the Lord won't defend you. You don't have to defend yourself. You just got to let it right out. You just got to live life as God's called you to do that. Don't try to defend yourself. If it's not true, what do you care about then? If it's not true, the Lord's going to defend you. If it's not true, He'll keep your integrity. But there are people that really want to ruin your character. They want to ruin your family. They want to ruin everything about you because they get a satisfaction in their lives to do that. But I guess they haven't read the Bible about God's judgment. What God will do to them if we touch God's anointed, which is you and me, all of us here. If you're a Christian, you're God's anointed. You can't talk about people. It's a no-no in the Bible. All we can do is build up people, but not talk about them. How about a deceitful tongue? Lying. Saying things that are not truth. The Bible says we should not do that. That's very deceitful to do that. And then a false tongue. A false tongue. One that falsifies things and people. And then there's also the lying tongue, where people not only lie, but also he talks about a perverse tongue. A perverse tongue in Proverbs 17:20. So if you go through the scriptures in the book of Proverbs and the Psalms, you will find, so many scriptures about the tongue. It's amazing. Amazing. I went through some of the scriptures. I couldn't believe how many scriptures on the tongue. Because God had a message, and God has a message for us as believers even here tonight. That we need to really be careful that the tongue doesn't really put us in a place where it's going to bring and actually destroy our character and our witness as Christians before the world, before the whole world. I sometimes it's kind of weird, Dr. McGee, myself and others, when I travel different places, because, my accent, my voice is known on through the radio, we'll be somewhere where, I've been in so many places of the world, and they'll hear my voice, even though they've never seen me, they go, "I hear you on the radio." It's just a distinct voice. And think of all the voices in your own home, in the job, wherever you are, how people can recognize your voice and then your tongue speaks. What are they hearing? What are they listening to? Do people really respect you? Especially there's people that are very malicious, working at work, gossiping, backbiting somebody else that you work with. And that should really never be so. If you're a child of God, you should never get involved with things like that in your job or in school or wherever you are. You need to be a witness to people. They need to know that you use your actual tongue for praising God and for speaking good things to people, building up people, encouraging people. That's what God says to us as children of the light. So James is not only here giving us a second illustration on the influence of the tongue, and again, he talks about this ship. And I think of the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth, how huge those ships were, and that little rudder just actually could be controlled the whole ship. And yet, here is the tongue. Look at verse 5 now, the power of the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Here's the danger of the tongue. And it boasts great things. Notice that. It has the capacity to expand. Notice the matters of the tongue. It can brag. It can lie. It can do all this damage if we're not really careful. Look for a moment. Go back to Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 10:31. There's a few scriptures I want to read. Proverbs chapter 10. 10:31, he says this. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, for the perverse tongue will be cut out. The evil tongue will be cut out, the scripture says. Then again in 12:19 of Proverbs, he says in verse 19, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. For a moment. And then 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And then 21:23, He says in verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles, guarding it, protecting it, watching over it. Chapter 25 of Proverbs, verse 15. In verse 15 he says, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Notice that. So you can go on and on and on in scriptures concerning the tongue. It's all over from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And yet we see here that the word to boast here is actually saying that it has the capacity to expand matters with the tongue. We have to be careful again in what we say. Look what he says in verse 6 now. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So here now, he's going to tell us that the tongue is not only powerful, but it also is a fire. A fire. And what does fire do? It destroys. It burns. You ever see those forest fires? Acres and acres and acres of land, millions are burned. And look what he says. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. The whole body is affected by it. Notice that. The tongue can be and destroy people, their character, and also, listen, it can really, really put people under the grave. People can become depressed by the thing you say to them. It can kill them. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Whoa. You know what the word hell is? It's not hell. It's Gehenna, the lake of fire. Literally. He says the tongue is like the lake of fire when it speaks evil. That fire that it creates. It's amazing here. Gehenna is an interesting place in the Valley of Hinnom. It was the garbage dump to Jerusalem, where they would dump all their trash and burn it. That's where remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? And they would take his body when the poor man died. They carried it and they took it to the city dump, to Gehenna. And they dumped it there and they buried it. They actually burned it. That's how they burned the people there, cremated them in the garbage dump. And yet here James is talking to us about this person with his tongue that has no control of it. He makes his point about the tongue, how powerful it is. It's like a fire when it begins to spread in a forest. And then, you know, if you were in that particular time where James was living, going over to this valley, which is called the Valley of Gehenna, in Jerusalem, or what we call, again, the Hinnom Valley. It was also the place, we've read it in the Old Testament. Remember the god Molech, where the actual Hebrews were going down to the city dump, and they had an image of Molech with his hands stretching out like this. And they would set their babies on top of the hands of Molech and barbecue them. They would burn them. That's the place, hell, Gehenna. Reminding us of the Valley of Hinnom that was called, again, Gehenna, where all the trash was burned and where people would come down and kill their babies to the hands of Molech, the god that they worshipped. And these were the children of Israel, the children of Israel. So we need to really be careful, and we need to have integrity in our lives concerning this tongue, because it's really something when you talk to people, especially little children that have those ears that are listening to all the conversations. Parents, be careful what you talk about in front of your children. They'll remember. I don't care how old they are. And how many times in a home where there's arguments and the children already are upstairs in bed or downstairs and they're screaming and yelling and there's profanity and there's all kinds of abuse with the tongue, and these children are laying in bed listening to the whole thing going into their little minds and hurting them, destroying them. It's not good for parents to argue in front of your children. It's not good for them. It hurts them because they love both of you. And it's really important as a Christian that we live by the word of God. What God's word says, we need to be doers of God's word. The Bible says what? We're to build up, we're to edify, we're to actually, you know, praise the Lord with our tongues. Worship the Lord. Be thankful to the Lord. And at the same time, being thankful, we need to also, with our children, praising our children with our tongues. So they can know that we really love them and we care for them. But here James had a real problem in the church. In his congregation, there were people, they were using their tongues, they were abusing their tongues. With their families, with friends, on their jobs, and even in the church. They couldn't get along with each other. They were literally coming against each other and saying things that they should have never said. And yet, I think of everything that God says in His Word. Look again, verse 7. He says, He comes back again and He says, for every kind of a beast or bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tame to be what? To be, it has been tamed by mankind. You know, you go to SeaWorld, you see these huge, huge fish, dolphins, I mean, that are tamed. You know, it's amazing what they can do. They can jump through loops, and the guy can actually get on a whale and ride the whale. Imagine that. And then go underneath and come up, and the whale jumps, and that guy's holding onto that whale. That would never happen on the ocean. It had to be tamed. So he keeps bringing a nature in, and he keeps bringing these things in, illustrations, because he really finds that the tongue is a real problem in the early church, as it is today in the church too. A real problem concerning people's tongues. And it's, again, now watch what he says. This is amazing. Because he says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea, it's tame, it has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Here's the exhortation. Notice this. Check this out. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. It kills. It kills peace, joy, love, and relationships. The tongue that is wicked. The tongue that doesn't have anything good to say. It's like a serpent spewing out poison. That has to cease. That has to stop. Here he's exhorting us. Only God can tame the tongue. Only God can do that. And I really believe by the empowering and baptism of the Holy Spirit, God can do it. God can do it. If you really want God to do that, ask Him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But be honest with Him and say, God, I have an unruly tongue. I mean, when we were in the world, I mean, we heard so much garbage, man. So much garbage. In the military, same thing. You know, cussing all the time. But as Christians, we don't cuss anymore. We don't say those things that we used to say. Why? Because we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We praise God. We're supposed to be builder-uppers, not tear-downers. We don't tear down people. We build up people. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus was angry against the Pharisees and the scribes and the other groups like the Herodians, what did he do? He came out with his mouth and he rebuked them. Rebuked them powerfully. But he did not abuse them. There's a way of doing that. You see? And we need to learn from the scriptures how to use our tongues. Because he says here that it is really a problem. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Poison comes out and it infects the whole household. It infects everybody. Everybody's infected. And then, check this out. He says, verse 9. Another illustration from human nature. He says, with it we bless our God the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Isn't that beautiful how he brings it out? When you're talking to another person, remember, he is and she is in the likeness of God when you insult them. We either bless or we curse. The tongue is hypocritical. Because think about tonight, we're here in the presence of the Lord, we're listening to the Word of God, we just worship the Lord, and maybe on your way out of here, something's going to happen where you're going to have to offend somebody. Or Sunday mornings, people coming into the parking lot with their wives and their children, and I wonder how many of those husbands and wives are arguing in the car and saying things that are evil, and the kids are in the back seat. And then you're going to put them in Sunday school. And you're going to come into the sanctuary. We need to be careful. Because I've done it. I mean, you know what? I drive those freeways. Oh, I hate it. And my wife will say, ah, be careful. I just say, oh, you know? You want to say things, you know? Because people do get you mad. Our nature is to strike back like the serpent. But you know, it's cool when the Lord grabs a hold of your mouth, your tongue, and he begins to really bring it in submission. Just like he says here. Watch what he says. This is so cool. He says, with it we bless our God, the Father, and with it we curse men, or sinners, and have been made in the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeds what? Blessings and cursings. My brethren, Christians, this ought to never be so. He rebukes it. Says, this should never be so. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Notice, our sinful nature comes out of the tongue. What we used to be in the world, it should not be today as Christ Jesus is in our lives. With it we build up, and with it we tear down people. And we should never do that. Especially now that we know Christ. And then he gives you another illustration, so it's real simple. Verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? The answer is no. No. No possible way. Watch this. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. What is he saying? Watch your tongue. Doesn't happen that way. And I think that the best thing to do is when you catch yourself saying something that is not right, stop yourself immediately. I tell people all the time that, you know, one of the things that I try to do is if I'm angry at somebody and I don't want to talk to them, I take a walk first so I can think before I speak. Because if not, I'm going to tell you how I feel about you. And it won't be good. You know? And then I'll be convicted. And I'll feel bad. In the past, I used to do that. And it's really important, because once you open your mouth and you start blabbing and you start saying things, what's happening? You're either using knives, or you're really building up that person. And if you're using knives, you're stabbing and stabbing and stabbing, and that person is being killed with those words that aren't forgettable. They're not going to forget them. Oh, they might forgive you, but they won't forget those things you told them. You already did the damage. And I think of all the households, all the children, all the parents, that if we're coming into the house of the Lord and we're learning the Bible, then we need to practice what we preach. And that's for me too. We need to practice what we preach. Because somebody might be there at the store when you're actually saying something. They might come to church here or may know you from your own neighborhood. And imagine they're going to hear you either tearing down or building up. And they're either going to respect you or they're going to lose respect for you. In public. That happens. It happens. So we need to really be careful how we do those things. Because God does want to work in my life, and he wants to work in your life. And if tonight you find yourself in a real situation, and a problem in your heart with your tongue that is really damaging your marriage, your single life, your job, and everything around you, you need to go to the Lord and ask Him to help you, but start by repenting. And help Him, ask Him to help you, to give you a new heart, and to give you a new speech, a new set of words through the Word of God, of praising and worship, and building up, and stop tearing down people and cursing people down. Real important. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that as we pick up the next section on wisdom, Lord God, that you would continue to speak to each one of us individually, Father, as we move through this great book of James, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for your people. And Lord God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would not only speak to us, but that you would speak to any person here tonight that is not a Christian. Not a Christian, Lord. And Lord, they've come here tonight, Jesus, to hear your word. And you have spoken tonight your word, Father, to each one of us. And Lord, I also pray for the Christians that are here, Lord God, your people, that have offended, that have spoken things that are not edifying, but are tearing down. Lord God, we pray for each one of our tongues tonight, Jesus, that you would help us, Lord, to be builder-uppers, Lord, to really be praisers of God, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that is not a believer, if you're here tonight, you're tired of your life, you want a new life, you want Jesus Christ to forgive you for all of your sins, to give you eternal life, and to cleanse you and wash you from all your sins, and to put them down in the deepest part of the ocean and never remember them ever again, and throw them as far as the east to the west, and then get your name inserted in the book of life and give you the guarantee tonight that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. If you want that, I'm going to ask you right now by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle, and to come up here to the front where I am, and I'm going to pray with you. Young, old, I don't care who you are, male, female. We're going to worship, and as we worship, you get up, you come, stand right here in the front, and we're going to pray for you as you come. Father, we are so thankful for your love and grace and mercy for these people that have come, Lord. Father, you know each one of them. You created them in your own image. And Father, tonight we pray that you would touch their lives and just bring them to the cross, Jesus, saving them, washing them by your blood, and making new people out of their lives, Jesus. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer by faith and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? I want you to pray with me out loud. Repeat after me this prayer. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right there? You guys go right over there. And they're going to give you a Bible, some literature. Awesome. God bless you, man. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Cool.